I'd like to welcome you all to this special session, Keeping It Real, Maintaining the Client Perspective in Behavioral Health Digital Solutions. Today we will be talking a lot about the ways that we can approach the challenge of maintaining the therapeutic relationship between the clinician and the client or patient, especially as it pertains to the development of digital solutions like mobile applications or mobile responsive websites, etc., which can be used to support clinical practice. We have a number of wonderful presenters today. What I'd like to do, So first, I will be moderating. My name is Rob Carroll, and I am, I've worked in behavioral health, substance abuse, and HIV for more than 20 years. I'm a nurse by training, and my professional expertise focuses on issues of nursing practice, workforce development, health policy, clinical education, and health communications. My professional expertise, as I said, extends to behavioral health and substance abuse, and I currently work as a member of the SAMHSA Public Engagement Platform at IQ Solutions in Rockville, Maryland, where I also serve as a project director and subject matter expert on behavioral health and HIV. Our second presenter today will be Dr. Richard McKeon. Richard McKeon has spent most of his career working in community mental health. He received his PhD in clinical psychology from the University of Arizona, and a Master's of Public Health and Health Administration from Columbia. He's currently chief for the Suicide Prevention Branch in the Center for Mental Health Services of the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, SAMHSA, where he oversees all branch suicide prevention activities, including the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline and the Suicide Prevention Resource Center. He's also the co-chair of the Federal Working Group on Suicide Prevention. Previously, he served on the boards of the American Association of Suicidology and the Division of Clinical Psychology of the American Psychological Association. He's been the recipient of an American Psychological Association Congressional Fellowship and has worked for U.S. Senator Paul Wellstone. In addition, he's held appointments to the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, Blue Ribbon Work Group on Suicide Prevention, as well as the Department of Defense Task Force on Suicide Prevention in the military. He served on the National Action Alliance for Suicide Prevention Task Force that revised the national strategy for suicide prevention, and he participated in the development of the World Health Organization's World Suicide Prevention Guidelines. Our next speaker will be Dr. Douglas Jacobs. Doug Jacobs is a psychiatrist on faculty at Harvard Medical School, and his research focuses on suicide assessment and treatment protocols. He was chairperson for the American Psychiatric Association's work group on practice guidelines for the assessment and treatment of patients with suicidal behaviors. He has been working with SAMHSA, where he helped develop, and actually he developed, the safety, which we will be looking at in a lot of detail today throughout these presentations, which is the suicide assessment, five-step evaluation, and triage. Dr. Jacobs spearheaded the National Depression Screening Day, sponsored by advocacy groups and the American Psychiatric Association. Our third presenter will be Dr. Mort Silverman. Mort Silverman is a senior science advisor to the Suicide Prevention Resource Center, SPRC. From 1996 to 2009, he was the editor-in-chief of Suicide and Life-Threatening Behavior. He is currently the treasurer of the International Association for Suicide Prevention, the IASP, and he is the co-author and author of over 45 peer-reviewed publications and over 30 book chapters, and co-author of the comprehensive textbook of suicidology, as well as Adolescent Suicide, Assessment and Intervention. And our last speaker today is Anara Garg. Anara Garg has worked in intentional and unintentional injury prevention since 1993. She is an injury and violence prevention consultant and works as a subject matter expert to a California statewide social marketing campaign to reduce suicide. Her publications include peer-reviewed articles and manuals on alcohol screening and grief intervention, hyperthermia deaths, violence in teen pregnancy, and guidelines for developing prevention materials. I'm very excited to be moving forward. This is a great group of speakers. First, though, I want to give the ever-present disclosure slide. Richard McKeon and I, we have no relationships to disclose in terms of conflict of interest. And just a quick review of our objectives today. Our first overriding objective is to look at the importance of maintaining the client, the perspective in developing clinical tools. We want to look at least two ways that digital approaches, such as mobile application development, could interfere with the therapeutic relationship between the behavioral health provider and the client. And then we're going to discuss how formative and qualitative research approaches help keep these perspectives and needs in the forefront, and central to the development of any digital solution. This is an example, an illustration of the landing page of our Suicide Safe mobile app developed by SAMHSA. To help providers integrate suicide prevention efforts into their work, SAMHSA designed Suicide Safe, which is a free app optimized for tablet usage and based on SAMHSA's Suicide Assessment 5-Step Evaluation and Triage, or safety card that I mentioned earlier. Now, the app includes conversation starters, case studies, resources, as well as a SAMHSA treatment locator. And I should mention it's available for download from both the Apple Store and the Android Store at no charge. If you just Google SAMHSA Suicide, it'll come right up. Now, what drove us to develop the Suicide Safe app was the fact that every 13 minutes, one person in the U.S. dies by suicide. Furthermore, research shows that in the month prior to their death by suicide, 45% of people had contact with their primary care provider, and 20% of these people had contact with a mental health services provider. What this tells us is that health providers are uniquely positioned to serve as critical points of intervention when it comes to suicide prevention. We like this quote, that asking about suicidal thoughts can actually save a life, as it allows a person to feel safe and understood enough to raise concerns and beliefs with you, a caring professional. Now, this comes from the Tip 50, one of SAMHSA's many resources that are available to address issues of suicidal risk and suicidal behavior and assessment. Now, at this point, I'd like to turn it over to Dr. Richard McKeon, who's going to tell you a bit more about SAMHSA, its resources, and the Suicide Safe app.
Thank you. So it's a pleasure to be with all of you today. And so if you're not familiar with SAMHSA, the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, an operating division of the United States Department of Health and Human Services, and our focus is on mental health and substance abuse prevention and treatment. And so there are a number of key messages that we try to communicate to the nation as a whole, that behavioral health is essential to health, that prevention works, that treatment is effective, and that people recover. So an important component of SAMHSA's work involves mental health integration and the idea that we need to coordinate general and behavioral health, including the integration of mental health, substance use, and primary care services. So we know, as Rob mentioned before, that many people who die by suicide have touched primary care services. We also know that many people with mental health disorders die earlier than they need to, not only from suicide, but from other medical causes as well. And so an integration where people with mental health disorders are getting better physical health care is an important component of SAMHSA's work as well, and we have a couple of grant programs and technical assistance efforts in that arena. So that, and so the ultimately there, the point is about caring for the whole patient. And this, of course, has been a major component in mental health parity. I had the pleasure and the honor of having worked for Senator Paul Wellstone when the mental health parity legislation was being proposed and advocated for. And, you know, we are all very grateful that it has passed, become law, and it's now working on implementing it. If you're not familiar with mental health parity, I think it can be conceptualized as critical civil rights legislation. And basically, these regulations that have been issued subsequent to the passage of the law require insurers to cover mental health treatment and prevention at the same levels they cover primary care. SAMHSA also works with HRSA, the Health Resources and Services Administration, and their Center for Integrated Health Solutions, providing evidence, examples, and models of this kind of collaborative work. Now, one of the things that was mentioned before is that SAMHSA also has treatment locators available for both for behavioral health, so that somebody can, and this is integrated into the app, you can somebody can use the app to find a local mental health or substance abuse treatment program. There are also other treatment locators that you can see listed, including for opioid treatment programs. And there's a link the app has to the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. If you're not familiar with the Lifeline, which is the Lifeline uses the number 1-800-273-TALK or 273-8255. Last year answered approximately 1.5 million calls. We know about 25% of them are from people who are actively suicidal, and they get answered from a network of 165 crisis centers from around the country, along with an option if people press 1 to a veteran-specific service at Canandaigua, New York, run by the Veterans Administration. SAMHSA has many resources, including many that promote the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. You can see just a sampling here of the free resources, the Opioid Overdose Toolkit. Many of the resources are now available in Spanish as well. And these can be obtained through the SAMHSA store. You can see the URL there. Another URL for you to be familiar with the Suicide Prevention Resource Center, which is www.sprc.org. And that probably is the largest single collection of suicide prevention resources in any website that's currently existing. So that's another area to bring to your attention. SAMHSA also does eBlasts, which you can sign up for to get the latest information around a range of issues, including suicide and suicide prevention, but many others. And you can see the instructions for how to sign up there. We also, in our suicide prevention branch, award grants. SAMHSA is the major supporter of youth suicide prevention efforts in the United States, all 50 states and several dozen American Indian tribes and Alaska Native villages, as well as almost 100 college campuses have received our suicide prevention grants. But one of the major themes for today is really around mobile apps. And the Suicide Safe app is not the only app that SAMHSA is supporting. There's a bullying app. There is a disaster app that has been created as well. And although it's not formally a SAMHSA app, SAMHSA did a suicide prevention challenge, if you're familiar with the challenge process, and gave awards to three organizations, one of which was Emory University, for developing apps that were for the use of people who were leaving emergency departments after a suicidal crisis. And so that's another example of some of the work that was done. So to talk specifically about Suicide Safe as an app, this is an app that's designed for healthcare professionals to try to help professionals integrate suicide prevention efforts into their work and to address issues of suicide risk. You know, a lot of times healthcare professionals, even mental health professionals, are concerned or worried or anxious about asking about suicide. A lot of times the question doesn't get asked, or it gets asked in a way. I'll give you an example. I went to a primary care visit, and a nurse was meeting with me, and she said, as she was looking down at her tablet and working on it, she said, "And do you have any mental health, substance abuse concerns, depression, anxiety, or suicidal thoughts?" And I said, "I really want to thank you for asking that question. It's really important that you ask." And I said, so it was great that she asked. I said, "Let me just suggest one thing." And she said, "What's that?" And I said that, "Well, when you ask that question, I'd suggest you look at me while you're asking, so that you can see what my reaction is." And then she kind of got very anxious and said, no, only the doctor really can deal with that. But really, we need the doctors, the nurses, all kinds of health professionals, paraprofessionals. We need people who know how to ask the question and what to do in response. And that is part of the goal of the Suicide Safe app, is to provide good information to increase people's confidence so that they will ask the question. Because there are many people who will not volunteer that they're thinking about suicide, but if they're asked the question, there's a very reasonable chance that they will say that they will acknowledge that they're having those thoughts. And so this app was designed with health providers specifically in mind, but the content is also applicable to a range of other professionals. It was based on the safety card, as we said before, and we are very grateful to Doug Jacobs, who's here and who will be speaking later, who designed the safety card and graciously shared it with the Suicide Prevention Resource Center and with SAMHSA, and that's the foundation on which this app is really based. And as Rob mentioned, it includes conversation starters, because sometimes providers don't know how to start the conversation, how to locate treatment options, interactive sample case studies, so people can kind of practice around it. It's not really designed to be used while you're talking to the patient, just like said, that it's good to be able to look at someone directly when asking some very sensitive questions like this, but it can help increase the comfort that somebody has and to quickly access and share information and resources. Because we think that one reason that health providers don't ask is because they're not sure what to do next, where the resources are. Other highlights within the Suicide Safe app include information on crisis lines and who to call for help, and a variety of training resources. For example, Preventing Suicide, a Toolkit for High Schools, is another SAMHSA product that is available to help guide suicide prevention efforts within schools. Has information on a variety of excellent school-based suicide prevention programs, and also about how to respond in the event that there is a tragedy in a school. Includes things like a sample letter that can be sent to the family and others. And said, this is just a sampling of some of the resources that are available. Here you can see gives you at least a little bit of a sense of the treatment locator and kind of what that looks. And again, I have it on my smartphone. You can just go and download it and take a look at it and then learn about it yourselves. On the other side are examples of some of the conversation starters. And actually, I can't quite read that.
That's the quote that Rob gave earlier.
So I won't read it again. But that's an example of some of the information that is available. So as this was developed, we wanted to keep the app users' needs central, right? Because then we were designed for providers. But we didn't want it that to be all about the convenience of the provider and not pay attention to the people who we were wanting the providers to help. So we said the target audience was clearly behavioral health and primary care providers of multiple disciplines. And we needed to figure out how to best meet those somewhat varied needs, varied experiences in working with people in crisis and multiple different settings. So here's how we went about it. There was some preliminary formative research. There was a literature review of the current state of the science. There was an environmental scan to find out what's needed and available, where are the gaps, what apps existed at the time. There are, of course, many more. There are more apps in the suicide prevention space now than there were at the time that we started. And then we did focus groups with providers, including primary care physicians and mental health providers, suicide prevention experts, about what they thought user needs and wants would be, finding out more about how they use technology in their practice currently. Did focus groups with national suicide subject matter experts. And we also did in-depth interviews with survivors of suicide attempts because, and this goes centrally to one of the key themes here, is that we wanted feedback from people who have been in suicidal crises themselves. And if you're not aware, there's a major development in the suicide prevention field over the last couple of years has been the much more active incorporation of the voices of people with lived experience. You know, I wish I could say that there was an easy formula for suicide prevention. There's not. It's challenging. We know a lot more than we have in the past. There's a lot that we can do, for sure. But for years, we kind of tried to make our ways without really trying to systematically hear from the people we are trying to help. We, unfortunately, when somebody dies by suicide, we can't get any more information from them, although we get important information from family members who have really been the ones who have insisted that this nation could do better in suicide prevention. But only recently have we begun to listen to those who have been in suicidal crises, and that's as a piece of this, we made sure that there were in-depth interviews as well as end-user testing. So this is an example of how you can get more information and how keywords can be searched, such as suicide prevention or depression. And of course, we're here because we're wanting to help spread the word about suicide prevention in general, but about this app in particular. And so, and your help in learning about it and downloading it onto your phones, and then if you find it of value to help us spread the word, would also be of great benefit. And you can see there are ways you can get promotional materials. And as I said, some of the features that are in the app, or you can also access them in other ways from the SAMHSA website. As I said, you can learn about the bullying app, the treatment locator, and a great variety of different kinds of available resources. So if you would like to learn more from me about any of SAMHSA's suicide prevention efforts, whether it's about the app, whether it's about our youth suicide grants or our college grants, or the Suicide Prevention Resource Center, or the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, you're welcome to email me at this email address.